Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. The NBA season tips off tonight, Tony. You have basketball fever?
Tony Kornheiser, maybe. Does it give you blisters on your inner thighs?
I hope not.
No.
Come on now.
Yeah. No. NBA fever. Catch it now or for the next 9 months. That's a long season.
That's a long season. NHL.
Welcome to PTI, NBA. Boys and girls. In today's episode, the NLCS goes to game 7. The Niners lose their second in a row, and Kendrick Perkins returns to preview the NBA season. But we begin today with the Rangers crushing Houston 11-4 last night to get to the World Series. The home team in this series lost every game. Texas jumped out 3-0 in the first and then 8-2 in the fourth. Adolis Garcia hit 2 home runs, giving him 5 in the last 4 games. Wilbon, what do you think of what the Rangers did and how they did it?
Tony, they just bum-rushed them. I mean, just went out and smacked Houston around like Houston was some just a dude. They Mike Tysoned them. It was amazing to just watch those first few innings. I'm like, my God, I wound up getting out of that, going over to an NFL game, which was much more competitive. And, Tony, the weird thing is we've just seen Houston in this circumstance a few years ago with your Nationals, where nobody could win at home. And it's like
– lost them all.
Okay, that was, like, I think the first time in history. And now you get it just a few years later. And yet it's not like it's a pattern. Houston was great at home last postseason. I don't know what it means. Is there some indictment of the Astros we should look at? Maybe not. I mean, they get to this point. They come into the postseason. They fight you. They can still win dramatically. They can still throw pitching at you if Verlander is out there and he came back for this. I don't know what to make of it, really, but good for Texas. Good for the Texas Rangers to say, we don't care if they were the champs. We are now the big event in the World Series.
Yeah, so, you know, I was saddened by the fact that Max Scherzer did not give a Warrior God performance. He was hit hard, and he was out in the third inning. But Texas hit harder than Houston hit. They got 15 hits, and Garcia, he seemed to thrive in the wake of being hit by Brian Abreu and all of that controversy.
Point,
Last night, he had 4 hits and 5 RBI, and I wondered why Dusty Baker pitched to him at all. And I wondered, I want to get the name right, I wondered why Dusty left in J.P. France
for 8
batters in the fourth inning when he had given up 5 hits and 4. This is an elimination game. You got to get him out of there.
Yeah.
You talk about the fact that everybody loses at home. Mike, if I own the Astros and they have a 40-47 record this year and they're World Series defending champions, I even think about reconfiguring the ballpark to suit my hitters. I don't understand this.
But they were great there last year. They've been great there in other years. Tony, it's just this really uneven thing.
It's strange.
It's historically weird, isn't it?
By the way, do you know that Bruce Bochy is now going back to the World Series for maybe a 4th ring?
How about that?
He's 6-0 all time in elimination games. 6-0.
Amazing.
And
it's a marvel. People did. I wonder how many teams would have seriously looked at Bochy. Well, one team got it right. Tonight, we get game 7 in the National League. The Diamondbacks forced it by beating the Phillies 5-1 in last night's game 6 in Philly. Arizona's going to send Brandon Faught to the mound tonight against Ranger Suarez. Tony, to whom do you give the edge?
So I've been watching this series carefully, as have you. I've been watching the Phillies throughout the entire playoffs. I know they lost game 6 at home last night, but unlike Houston, they had been great at home. They had been 6-0 at home. 2 over Miami, 2 over Atlanta, and 2 over Arizona. You know, so, I mean, I look at that. And I look at the fact that their home crowd, to me, Mike, seems to elevate them more than other home crowds elevate their home team.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick Philadelphia, but I am cautioned by what I saw last night in Houston. Maybe this is the year that the unknown teams get in. And if there's any team that's possibly more unknown than Texas, it's Arizona.
Yeah, Tony, I'm not going to disagree with any of that. I don't know about any edge. And to hell with the edge. I'm rooting hard for Arizona now. And not because I spend a lot of my time in Arizona. I'm not. I'm rooting against Eastern presumption. Because I got angry yesterday when I picked up the newspaper where I live and I read our friend and a great columnist, Barry Zwerluga, saying, oh, it's better for baseball if Philadelphia wins. So another Eastern person telling us that the Eastern team has to win because anybody else other than the Eastern team along I-95, it is not valid. To hell with that. And now I am just rooting against people like you and Zwerluga, both of whom I love.
No, I got involved in this.
Yeah.
I'm involved in this now.
I'm just throwing you in. I'm dragging you into this. I'm dragging you in.
It's insane.
Because you said on this air that the league must want Philadelphia to win because nobody knows Arizona. And now Eastern presumption has angered me. And I'm rooting as hard as I can for Arizona.
Okay, I don't have Eastern presumption. Yeah. I have what is called reality and ratings understanding.
Yeah, ratings.
A big Eastern city draws more people. Yeah. Here's what I would tell you
the
what
Western
I worry about most of Philadelphia.
The Western city's bigger than the Eastern city
I
now.
I worry, can you give me a chance?
I just want to
I worry about the bullpen. I worry about Kirkering. I worry about Kimbrel. My comfort level on that series is Philadelphia has to go into the eighth inning up by four. Or I worry.
You
we
should
move now
be
to
rooting
the NFL.
Against the bearded first baseman, being a Washingtonian and a Nationals guy. You should be rooting against Bryce Harper, huh?
No. I'm rooting against North Scottsdale.
I know you.
That's
know
what I'm
that.
Rooting against.
I know you are.
We move to the NFL, where all the pretentious people go for second homes. The 49ers lost again last night.
Third
gated
homes.
Communities. That's two in a row. This time it was at Minnesota. Hardly a powerhouse this year. 2-4 coming in. But they led every step of the way. Kirk Cousins wasn't sacked at all. Threw for 378 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. In contrast, Brock Purdy threw for 100 fewer yards, was intercepted twice. Well, but how concerned should the 49ers be about their sackless defense and the suddenly mortal Brock Purdy?
Tony, they should be. There's every reason for that to be a primary discussion. It is because the 49ers, you know, a couple of weeks ago were 5-0 and looked like world beaters, and now they're not. But, Tony, I'm going the other way on this. I mean, we've seen Kirk Cousins, you and I up close, because he was here first in Washington, where he had these kinds of games. He doesn't have them all the time. If he had them all the time, he'd be Joe Montana. He doesn't have them all the time. And you know what? Hardly anybody has them all the time, except that 4 or 5 quarterback group at the top of the league at any time that is going to the Hall of Fame. So Kirk Cousins can have these games. He does have these games occasionally. And when he does, his team wins, and they can get to the playoffs with a really good regular season record. They are still in it in the NFC Central because, you know, neither one of us, and me more than you, I don't trust Detroit. Not yet. They got to prove more to me. So I'm putting this on Kirk Cousins. I think he had a great game. He was missing his best receiver and the next best offensive player, the best offensive player on that team, just like San Francisco was missing Deebo Samuel.
So if you had told me before this game that Deebo Samuels and Christian McCaffrey would be out because of the injuries they suffered last week, I would have said to you, it's possible they can lose on the road.
Right.
But McCaffrey played the whole game and scored the 2 touchdowns, so that wasn't the problem. Mike, yesterday I talked about putting teams in the don't pick me box. Talked about Buffalo, Miami, Detroit, the don't pick me box. I am so reticent to put San Francisco in the don't pick me box. I just don't want to do it. But what is true now in the last few weeks in the NFL is of all the teams we thought were legitimate contenders, there's only two that have avoided either losing twice or getting crushed in a game. And that's Kansas City and Philadelphia. Yep. They seem to me, Mike, to be they've opened up some distance on the rest of the pack. They've opened it up.
Maybe
there's
so.
Light between them and the others at this point, I think. Let's take a break. Coming up, do the Lakers really feel slighted by Michael Malone and the Nuggets? We're going to ask Kendrick Perkins.
We'll also ask him if he wants to pump the brakes just a little on the hullabaloo over Victor Wembanyama.
So your anti-I-95 bias is so particularly strong.
But see,
even though you
I'm
own
out
a home
front. I don't
on
hide.
I-95.
I don't hide like you and Zwerluga.
You own a home.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
We're less than 2 hours away from the tip-off of the NBA season, and joining us to talk about it is our great friend from NBA Today, the guy I used to push around in the paint, Mr. Kendrick Perkins. Stay with me on this, Perk. There's a long first question. The Lakers and the Nuggets are the early game. For weeks, LeBron has expressed annoyance at the fact that Nuggets coach Michael Malone was referred to, I guess, at the Denver victory parade as the Lakers' daddy. LeBron's been in the league for 100 years. He's won everything there is to win. Do you think LeBron and the Lakers are honestly motivated by this stuff?
Tony, let me ask you a question. Do you remember the characters Brandy and Darnell? You know what movie that come off of? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. A thin line between love and hate. Because you just remember, right? You know, Michael Malone and LeBron James, they used to be friends. When have we ever seen LeBron James respond to somebody on social media? We saw it with the Denver Nuggets this past offseason. So, yes, he does have something to prove. And I feel like he's going to come in there with to send a message tonight and spoil the Denver Nuggets ceremony, ring ceremony. Tonight. And it's going to be addressed to Michael Malone.
Ooh. Intrigue on opening night. We like that. The second game, by the way, Perk, is pretty darn good, too. Suns and Warriors up in the Bay, up in San Francisco. And Bradley Beal and Draymond Green may not play because of the opening night injuries. But when you look at those teams, long range, meaning for this season, is there one that you like more than another? They're both going to be in the fray in the Western Conference.
Oh, it's the Phoenix Suns. It's the Phoenix Suns. It's no way that you have three of the most prolific, efficient scorers in the game on one squad that's underrated playmakers in KD, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. And the pieces that they added around them, Eric Gordon, I love the pickup for us with the trade to get Big Nurkic. And you know the deciding factor in this? Frank Vogel. People do not give Frank Vogel enough credit. What he do as a coach on the defensive side of things. They're going to be unstoppable offensively, but the energy that they're going to bring defensively because of the voice of Frank Vogel, that's going to be the separation between the Phoenix Suns and everybody else in the Western Conference.
Tony, you know I like hearing that, don't you? And Watanabe. Mm-hmm. I like that Watanabe pickup in the relationship he has with Kevin Durant.
Hey, Wilborn, I wanted to say his name, but I ain't really know how to pronounce it. I ain't want to take up 10 minutes of the show.
We like Rodnov as well. Perk, there's going to be a guy we start talking about. We've already been talking about him for 2 years, but now it really starts. Victor Wembanyama, of course, has his debut tomorrow night against the Mavericks in San Antonio. Perk, Tony's a little skeptical still. Tony keeps saying, hey, wait a minute. I don't care about preseason. Let me see regular season, late regular season and beyond. Tony's a little skeptical. Yeah. Where are you on Victor Wembanyama?
I'm not skeptical at all. I am a believer, even if it is preseason. Matter of fact, I have Victor Wembanyama winning Defensive Player of the Year. I believe offensively he's a 7'4 version of Kevin Durant, and he's going to have the Spurs in the thick of things, meaning play-in tournament this season. He's that good. Tony, in the next 3 years, Victor Wembanyama will be the best player in the league on both ends of the floor, and he's going to make a serious impact this season. He's the real deal.
Wow.
Perk.
You may be right about that.
Give it up for the youngster.
You may be right.
Like this.
That he is going to be the best player in the league in 3 years, but probably the best player in the league right now, I would think, in the running for it, is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh,
we haven't
sure.
talked about the East at all. He just signed a three-year extension that's going to pay him $62 million a year. Seems like a lot of money to me. Do you like Milwaukee in the East to come out of the East, or do you like someone else in the East to come out of the East?
I love Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. And not just because of the duo of Damian Lillard, who averaged 32 last season, and Giannis. I could just imagine how that two-man game is going to look. It's going to be unstoppable. But then I think about money-making Middleton, Chris Middleton, who's going to be their third option. I think about the depth that they have on their front line. When you think about Giannis and Brook Lopez, Robin Lopez, Bobby Portis, who could have won Sixth Man of the Year last year. You add a Malik Beasley. Jay Crowder come back. You still got Pat Connaughton over there. This roster is set to win now. And no disrespect to the Celtics, no disrespect to the 76ers or the Heat, but the Milwaukee Bucks, in my opinion, have the best team in the Eastern Conference, and I feel like they're going to represent the Eastern Conference this year in the NBA Finals.
So, Perkins, sounds like so
we'll get,
Suns
we'll get you out of here
in Milwaukee for you.
Yeah, that's it. That's my early season prediction for the Finals.
There we go. We're going to
put
a pin in it. Perk,
thanks so much for joining us again. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Tony, I need you to go check out A Thin Line Between Love and Hate and text me and tell me what you think about it, all right?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to watch that between innings of the baseball tonight. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Bob Melvin reportedly leaves the Padres for the Giants. Is that a good move?
And should Matt LaFleur remain confident in Jordan Love as the Packers' starting quarterback?
No.
Tony, you might be the last holdout. I know you're not saying Wembanyama's not ever going to be great.
He hasn't played one minute in the league.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 24th birthday, Amon Ross St. Brown. The Lions receiver was a fourth-round pick out of USC in 2021, and he has been nothing but terrific. As a rookie, he led the team with 90 catches for 912 yards and 5 touchdowns. In his second year, St. Brown led the team with 106 catches for 1,161 yards and 5 touchdowns. And so far this year, St. Brown leads the team with 51 catches, 557 yards and 3 touchdowns. St. Brown was Detroit's one bright light in Sunday's smothering loss to Baltimore. He had 13 catches for 102 yards. He and his two brothers are fluent in English, German, and French. Their father, John Brown, was a bodybuilder who was a two-time amateur Mr. Universe in the 80s. It was his idea to give his sons names like Amon-Ra, Equanimeous, and Osiris.
Tony, you can name them the sun, the moon, and the stars. If you can raise and produce multiple professional athletes in one family, God bless. You can do anything you want to do. And those Guys are learned. I like that as well.
I'm so surprised you didn't name Matthew Equanimeous.
Equanimeous, it was taken. I just thought it was taken.
Happy anniversary, Wilt Chamberlain. On this day, 64 years ago, the Big Dipper made his NBA debut with the Philadelphia Warriors. Woo! In a win over the New York Knicks, Wilt's career began with 43 points and 28 rebounds. Wilt ran away with Rookie of the Year by averaging an unheard of 37 points and 27 rebounds a game. By far the greatest rookie numbers ever. Wilt became the first player to win Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same season. Wes Unseld is the only other rookie to do that. Wilt's debut, the most eagerly awaited debut ever, came after he played 2 years at Kansas and won with the Harlem Globetrotters. Let me repeat these season averages as a rookie. 37 points, 27 rebounds. Wilbon, let's see your boy Wembanyama do that.
If he even has that for one game tonight, it'll break the internet. As my dear friend Jalen Rose always says, there's one record book in the NBA for everybody, and then there's one for Wilt. Pay attention, boys, because that sums it up. That's one for Wilt. Just one.
Happy trails to the Padres for Bob Melvin. The Giants have hired him away after a quick interview process. Melvin grew up in the Bay Area, played for the Giants for three seasons in the 80s. This will now be the fifth team he has managed. Melvin managed the NL West rival Padres the past two seasons. They made the NLCS in his first, but they missed this year's playoffs despite huge expectation and huge commitment of money to that team. He had 1 year left on his deal in San Diego. The last manager the Padres let leave for the Giants, guy by the name of Bruce Bochy, who led San Francisco to three World Series titles and will now try to win his first with the Rangers.
Tony, it sounds like the Padres are straight up blaming him for what they didn't do this season. You don't want to blame any of those players you're playing. You're paying almost like NBA salaries. You don't want to blame them. You just want to blame the manager? I don't know about that. Could backfire on you.
So I'm not surprised at all that he's not there anymore because of exactly what you're saying. Just like I'm not surprised that Buck Showalter isn't going to be with the Mets anymore because of all the money that they spend, and they got to hold somebody accountable, and that's who they hold accountable. Bob Melvin took Oakland to the playoffs. Oakland, no money. Took Oakland to the playoffs six times. He'd been to playoffs eight times with three different teams. He seems to me a quality manager, right?
Yes. I wouldn't have fired him. Not after this 1 year.
No.
Fire some of those players.
I got rid of a player or two. I'd run off a player before I fired a good manager. We're running out of show. We go to the big finish.
Let's
do it. Packers coach, your boy Matt LaFleur, says his confidence in Jordan Love is not wavering one bit. Is yours?
Not yet. These things where you get like 12 games or fewer to audition to be a quarterback in the NFL or get out. Sorry, I'm not with that. The Rams released kicker Brett Maher. That justified?
So in the game on Sunday, he missed two field goals and an extra point. That's 7 points. The Rams lost by seven to the Steelers. Last year in Dallas, he missed four extra points in one game. The Pistons will be without Bojan Bogdanovic for at least 4 weeks with a right calf strain. Is that significant?
He averaged 22 points a game last season. That, for a team trying to find its way, is significant. College football tonight, 7-0 Liberty at 4-3 Western Kentucky. Are you smelling upset?
Well, maybe, but honestly, I'm going to be locked into the Phillies in Arizona. That's what I'm watching. Last one. All 32 NHL teams are on the ice tonight. Which is the best game?
I'm going to say, of course, I got my own bias. I'm going to say Bruins, Blackhawks. Connor Bedard, I'm watching him.
Blackhawks, what a shock.
Yeah.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I got to read this. Happy birthday to our producer's high school prom date's husband, Sonny.
There we go, a couple of degrees removed. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. What, you disappointed I'm not picking Philly?